Let's take our Bibles this morning. Open up with me to Psalm chapter 8. Looking across the audience this morning, I keep spotting different people that have traveled from different places. And I know probably throughout the morning I'll spot more of you. Thank you for making the trip. That's awesome. People that have moved away to different towns and cities and things like that came back today. That's just really greatly appreciated. Neat to see you back. This morning, we have been in a series of messages called Go to Grow for the last few weeks, and it's been an eye-opening series of messages for me. Next week, we have the missionary to Siberia that's going to be here all day. The following Sunday is Father's Day, so we are going to be away from this series for a couple of weeks. Kind of a bummer for me because we're getting ready to move into something that is just, I'm excited. I don't want to give you too much of it. I don't want to give you any of it. I just want you to come back for it. But getting into some really neat pieces of the story as we talk about Go to Grow. For the last several weeks, we have been answering a practical question, the question being, why should I love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with all of my might, with all of my being? Why should I? And we've looked at seven different things. Now, by all means, we could continue on that topic. We could do it for years and never run out of reasons why we should love the Lord with our all. We're not going to do that. We're going to move on. But those seven things maybe sparks a different question, and that's the question we want to answer this morning. We know why we should love the Lord with all of our hearts, but how do we know if we do? How do we know if we do? I would imagine here this morning, if I was to ask you, do you, who are married, do you really love your spouse with all you got? There would be a resounding, oh, that was good. I believe that, all right? I believe that. Now, if I was to ask your spouse, do you know that they love you? That goes along with that kind of an answer. Do they show it? Now, that might be a different answer. I'm not asking you to respond, but that could be a very different answer. Or you may say this morning, yes, I love my spouse with everything I got, second only to the Lord. But maybe the actions speak contrary to that. For instance, let's say an individual would say, I love my spouse with my everything, but they're an abusive individual, whether that be physical, verbal, mentally, emotionally abusive. Their words are a lie. Because they do not love the Lord or love their spouse with all of their heart, second only to the Lord, their actions show otherwise. If you tell your children, I love you with everything I got, and yet your kids are saying, oh, I want to do this, can I go here, and nothing wrong with it, you say, oh, no, we don't have the money for that. But then you go and spend money, blow money on a bunch of other foolish, dumb things that are just for yourself. How does that show love to your children? You say, oh, I love my dog. Lousy mongrel, and you give it a good swift kick. Your dog's looking at you going, huh? You know, the words don't match, the actions don't match the words. So what kind of actions line up? If we say, okay, I love the Lord with all of my heart, good Baptist church. You know what? If I went to any church, I don't care where it's at this morning, where congregations are meeting, and you were to ask the question, do you love the Lord with every ounce of your being? 99.9% of those individuals would answer with a resounding yes. You say, well, what about the 0.1? They're asleep, so we have to get them woke up first. So 99.9% would say, yes, I love the Lord with all of my heart, with everything I got. Okay, prove it. What's the proof of that declaration? You see, our actions have got to match what we say, because it's not enough just to say it. So here's how we can measure ourselves against the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 8, the Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Go to chapter 29. Psalm chapter 29. And the first two verses of Psalm 29, the Bible says this, Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. One more, Psalm 117. Psalm 117 in the first two verses there. And of course, the only two verses. It's a short psalm. And the Bible says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." The first way that we show that we really love the Lord with all of our hearts is to worship him. And you say, "Come on, preacher, we're here this morning. It's Sunday morning. Isn't that what we're here to do?" I don't know. I don't know how many are in the service this morning, but the Lord knows the heart, and the Lord knows whether or not you're here to worship him. And it can't be just something that we do once a week. Think about it like this. Our spouse wants to hear that we love them, right? So every week at 7 a.m. on a Monday, we get up, we're getting ready to go out the door, and we say, "Oh, honey, by the way, I love you. I love you second only to the Lord. You are my light. You are my just everything. I love you." Little peck on the cheek or whatever, and out the door you go. And then next week, Monday, 7 a.m., "Honey, I love you. I love you with my everything. You are my shining light. I just, little peck on the cheek, out the door you go." And so once a week, it's a programmed, you know, it becomes perfunctory, and it becomes mechanical, and it is regulated. It is regulated by 7 a.m. Monday morning. Let's get the week started out right before we go to work. I'm going to let her know. I'm going to let him know. I love you. How long would it take before your spouse is scratching their head and saying, "I don't think they really love me"? This just sounds like, you know, push the playback button. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. And yet I wonder how many of us, we go to church on a regular basis, and it's 10:30 in the morning. Okay, the bulletin says Sunday morning worship. I'm here to worship. 11 a.m., I'm here to listen. 11:30-ish, I'm here to be done. And Lord, I'll meet you again. I'll see you next Sunday. Same time, same station, same words, same perfunctory songs, same tired out expressions of my gratitude and love for you. And then we'll shut her down for a week. That's not worship. Worship is something that should take place out of our lives, the expression of the abundance of our hearts. There are times where it will burst through like an explosion because just something, I don't know if it's in your devotion, something that the Lord hits you with as you're going through the day, and it just overwhelms you. And that worship and that praise for the Lord just elevates to a whole brand new level. But worship, that's not something you do or you program to happen and say, "It's 10:30 Sunday morning, I'm here to worship." No. This is just the opportunity that we get to do collectively what we've done all week. Amen? So, have we expressed to the Lord, we say that we love him, have we worshiped him? Worship simply means declaring an individual's worth. Is God worth worship? Does he have the right to our worship? Absolutely. So does the Lord get that? Does the Lord get our praise? Oh, we're good at praying and saying, "Oh Lord," two things, "forgive me for this, and I need that." And it's like, well, wait a minute. What happens to the adoration of the Lord? What happens to us just praising him? When was the last time, Christians, that in prayer we just talked to the Lord and we didn't ask him for anything? And because we had kept the account up to date, we didn't even have to start out, "Well, Lord, before I can even pray, I got to get these things right in my life, and I've got to ask your forgiveness for all this." No, we were just able to right now just shoom, right into a time of praise and worshiping him. You don't have to be in church to do that. You can be in your car, driving to the store, driving to work. You can be anywhere just giving the Lord worship, sitting in your front room, laying in bed, just worship the Lord. That is something that shows that we actually love him. Consider the second thing. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14. So if we're not worshiping the Lord like we should, like we have the availability to do, are we really loving him with all of our heart? In John chapter 14, verse 15, the Bible says this, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Obedience is the second way that we show the Lord that we love him. If we are going to obey his commands, that means we got to know his commands. That means we got to be in his word. We have got to be faithful in God's word, not just sporadic, not just opening our Bibles because it's Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, pastor said open to such and such passage. Sure, I'm glad I could remember where I put it from last week. No, where we're in God's word constantly throughout the week. We have got to know what his word says so that we can obey it, and we show him our love by our obedience to his word. Not picking and choosing the portions of God's word that we want to obey. Well, I like that one, but nah, I don't like that one over here. You know, that. Imagine if your kids, mom and dads, you have rules in the home, right? And suppose the kids, if the parents were able to put all those rules down on paper and the kids say, well, number 1, 5, and 8, I don't like them. So I'm going to opt out of those, but 2, 3, 4, they're okay. I guess I'll give in to those. Oh, I really like these down here. That's okay. But those others, no, I'm not doing those. Now, how many parents would sit here and negotiate the rules with your kids? I just want to know how many bad parents we got. Those are non-negotiables. You want to know why? Because mom and dad spoke. Mom and dad's the law in the house, right? Kids, mom and dad's the law in the house, right? That was weak. Parents, you're the law in the house, right? Glad you know your place. We'll pray for the youngins. You lay down the law. It's not negotiable. God's word, folks, this book is not negotiable. I don't care what the culture is doing. You don't negotiate this book. It doesn't matter where other churches are going. You don't negotiate this book. This book changes for nobody. It doesn't change for your likes, your whims, my whims, your fads, my fads. This book doesn't change because the author of the book doesn't change. Therefore, we are called to obey it. And the only way we can obey it is first you got to know it. The only way you can know it is to get into it. You know, we just finished up Memorial Day, and we think about those individuals who went off to war, and the people that are remembered, most of those are from wars gone by, from a whole different time period. And you think about those men that went off to war, and usually it was the wife that was left home. And I would imagine that she just couldn't hardly wait for the mailman to show up. And she looked forward to seeing a letter there from her husband. Now, can you imagine a wife going out to the mailbox, she sees that she got a letter from her husband, goes, oh, that's nice. I'll get to it later. And then takes it in, just tosses it on the counter. And maybe hours later, maybe even days later, oh, where did I put that letter? I suppose I ought to get that, shouldn't I? Now, where did that thing go? Finally, she finds the letter. She opens it up and just kind of briefly skims it. Yeah, kind of, you know, speed reading. You know, Emily's school of speed reading. Just kind of speed reads it real quick. Huh, that was nice. And then just kind of throws it away. Would you not think that's a little on the weird side? Would you not say that that wife probably doesn't love him a whole lot? He just don't know it. What does it tell our Heavenly Father who gave us this book if we don't read it, if we don't hunger for it, if it doesn't have a vital, important place in our daily life? What does it tell God? It tells him, why'd you waste your time? There's a lot of words in there. I don't like to read. If you'd wanted me to get it, you could have sent me an audio tape of some sort. Maybe I would have listened to it, but now I got to read it? Nah, that's what the preacher's for. He reads it to me. You know, listen, the preacher's not your mommy. Your mommy read to you when you were little. Now that you're big, read for yourself. Christians, this book was for you. And we show the Lord our love by what we do with this book. Consider the next thing. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And by the way, this morning, I am talking to the Christian. I am talking to the Christian. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you can't sit there and say, oh, I love God with all of my heart, and you've rejected His Son? I don't think so. This is for the Christian. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." I think it's Burger King that says, "Your way right away." McDonald's says, "You deserve a break today." Society tells us we're number one. Listen, Christian, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, what does the Bible tell us? We are no longer supposed to live for ourselves. We are to live for the Lord. That's called the third thing this morning is prioritizing. Prioritizing. What is the Lord's priority in your life? You say, "Well, I'm here, aren't I?" That doesn't mean the Lord's your priority. You could be here because today's a special day. You could be here just because it's Sunday. You could be here because somebody drug you here, made you be here. That doesn't mean you're here because the Lord is your priority. And not just Sundays. What priority does the Lord have of your life tomorrow? Throughout the week? He's supposed to be in the top spot. That is a one-seat place. That's not a dual seat or lots of seats. And only one person can have that top priority place. And each and every one of us decides who that'll be. Each and every one of us decides what it will be. It'll either be what we want, what we deem important, what we deem special, what we deem, maybe it's just for the moment. And that's constantly, whoever's on that seat's constantly in flux, constantly changing. The Lord says, "I change seats with nobody. I am to be in that top spot all the time." Can we say this morning, don't answer out loud, I'm asking, let's look into our hearts, let's be honest. Does the Lord have the priority of our life? The priority of our decisions? Do we enter into decisions and think about, "God, what do you want?" You go to a store. Have you ever gone into the store praying, "Lord, what do you want me to buy?" What would you do if the Lord whispered in your ear, said, "Nothing, get out of there"? "Oh, but I came to shop. I came to buy." And the Lord says, "Get out of there. I don't want you spending your money here. At least not now, not today." Would you leave? I mean, think about it. He has got to be not consulted. Lord, I don't. It's not saying, "Lord, I want your opinion and then I'll weigh which opinion matters most." No, Lord, I want your direction. I want to know what you want. And I want to do exactly what you want me to do. Why? Because you have the priority in my life. You are the priority. Now go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Here's another way in which we show the Lord that we love Him. In John chapter 21, to set this up, we remember how Peter denies Christ three times. And we go through the crucifixion, we go through the resurrection, Jesus has made appearances to the disciples, and now we're in this spot where Jesus is here with some of the disciples, and he has this little conversation with Peter. He says in verse 15 of John 21, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto him," or unto Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." With this question, "Do you love me?" came the instruction, "Serve me." Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Serve me. How do we show the Lord that we love Him? By serving Him. Let me ask some deep probing questions, and whatever you do, don't answer out loud. I want to make sure you have a good afternoon, okay? I don't want to get you hung out to dry here. So in your mind, don't nod your heads. That gets you in trouble too. In your minds, answer the question. Do you love your spouse second only to the Lord? Second question is this. Do you love to serve your spouse, doing special things for them? Do you look for ways that can ease their day, make their day better, brighter, less stressful? Do you look for those ways? And if you're answering yes to those questions, then what was the last thing that you did for them in service to them that actually accomplished that? See, that's where the rubber meets the road, because the other questions, I see, oh yeah, yeah, I love to serve my spouse. Amen. Oh, I'd do anything for him. Oh, yes. When was the last time you did something for him? Can't remember the last time. You see, if we love our spouse as we should, we want to serve them. We want to do things for them. Last Sunday night, we finished up our series of messages called Marriage Tune-Up. And in the Marriage Tune-Up, as we were talking about different individuals that make lousy marriage partners, the very first one that we looked at was the customer. The customer is in the marriage as a person there to be served, not to be a servant. They want to know what their partner can do for them, and that's how they live. It's like, you're here for me. And it's like, no, the Scripture says just the opposite. You're there for them. And you can't sit back and say, well, that's not fair. Who's there for me? Well, stop thinking about yourself, but if you need an answer to that, if you're there for your spouse, what does that mean for them? That means they're there for you, right? I mean, that's only logical. Yeah, but they're not, so I'm not gonna be. Oh, wait a minute. Find the Scripture that gives you a permission to be obedient if they do what they're supposed to do. Find me that verse. If you find me that verse, I'll be happy to preach the sermon next Sunday. I'm not worried, because the verse isn't there. We do what the Lord tells us to do because He told us to do it, not because of something they did to prompt the action. So we are supposed to serve. And if we understand that where our marriage is concerned, remember, according to Ephesians chapter 5, our marriage is merely a reflection of Christ's relationship to the church. And so if we are supposed to serve our spouse in love, and the Bible tells us we are supposed to serve one another, then I'm supposed to serve the Lord. Okay, Christian, we say we love the Lord with our everything. Okay, what are we doing for Him? What kind of service are we rendering for the Lord? We are not called to render the same service. We're not going to render and do the same things, but we got to be doing something for the Lord if we say that we love Him. The Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 4 that the pastors and the teachers, the evangelists and all that, they are there for the purpose of training the church to do the work. So what are we doing, Christians? There is nothing in Scripture that will ever validate us sitting on the premises doing nothing. Nothing. There's no verse there. So what are we doing for the Lord? Well, if that's not a hard one to swallow, let's look at another one. Go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, here's the fifth way that we can show that we love the Lord. In John chapter 13, look at verse 35. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. What does it say next? If ye have love one to another. Oh, I love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, strength, mind, being, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I can't stand that person. Boy, they just give me the willies. I just see them and I begin to shake. Oh, but I love the Lord with all of my heart, but I sure can't stand them. Oh, yeah, I'm glad they sit on one side of the church and I make sure I sit on the other. Huh. Well, I would suggest you do some reading through 1 John chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 5, because the Bible tells us that the person that says that they love God and hates their brother, that person is a liar, the Bible says. So if you're in that condition today and you say, I love the Lord with all of my heart, and you hate somebody else, liar. I'm just using God's words. That's what He said. And we may not like that, but quite honestly, Christians, we've got to love each other. Now, I understand. Everybody does not have the same effervescent pleasant, appealing personality that you and I do, right? They just don't have it. We understand that. Some people are just gruff. That's their mannerisms. Some are painfully shy, kind of background types of individuals. Some are just odd, and they're outside the parameters of normal, whatever that parameter might be, but they're just a little on the peculiar side. Others are high maintenance, and yes, very draining sometimes. We still are called to love them. And if your politically correct jets are in a knot right about now, just cool them. Because I want you to listen to this passage of Scripture, and this is how the Apostle Paul describes those people that we would say are gruff or odd or high maintenance and all that kind of stuff. Listen to how Paul describes them. 1 Corinthians 12, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts. Now, we don't use that phrase. That's just a nice way. If somebody is very comely, they're attractive. If they're uncomely, they're unattractive. So we could say those uncomely parts, the ugly parts, have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Huh. The uncomely, the less honorable, they need more. And church, we're called to give more. Wow. You ever think about that? It doesn't say cut them a wide path. It doesn't say, well, that's just how they are. Let's get away from them. You know, they're just, you know, they're a porcupine, and I don't want to get around a porcupine because you know what happens. And so I'm just going to give them a wide berth. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says get in there and hug the porcupine. Go ahead. You'll be fine. You'll heal up from when those quills stick you. Go ahead and get in there with that odd individual. And you say, yeah, but people think I'm odd too. They probably do anyway, so don't worry about it. Just get in there with them. Somebody's thinking you're odd. Just get in there with them. Why? Because they need it. And it shows that we love the Lord with all of our heart by the love that we show to those individuals. One more. Acts chapter 4. One more. Acts chapter 4. I love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, with all of my being, with everything I got. How do you know? How about witnessing? How about witnessing? In Acts chapter 4, verse 15, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly there threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and the things that we have heard. Just try to get the newly engaged or the newly married individual to quit talking about their special somebody. Just try to get a new mother to quit talking about that baby. Oh, everything is cute and newsworthy, and right down to the baby sounds they make, their eating and sleeping habits, their potty training. You know, everybody wants to know about your baby's potty training. And, oh, they got the stories to share, and nothing's ever, ever left to the imagination when it comes to new moms talking about that firstborn. Oh, and it's even worse because then there's that group of grandparents. And there ain't nothing better than the first grandkid, right? And on they go, talking, talking, and talking. Just try to get them to be quiet. You know, here's what happens. You try to get them to be quiet, and they can kind of sense that you really don't care about the housebreaking of that child and all that kind of stuff. They really don't care. They might quit talking to you, but they'll go tell somebody else. They'll go find somebody that'll listen. I say, I love the Lord with all of my heart, but I don't tell anybody about Him. That doesn't make any sense. Now, I may tell somebody about Him and they could care less. They don't want to hear. And I don't say, oh, well, I guess I won't tell anybody else if I'm going to get this kind of reaction. Forget it. I'm going to go tell somebody. Eventually, I'm going to find somebody that wants to hear it. I'm going to find somebody that cares enough to listen. And I'm going to keep going until I find that person. If we say we love the Lord with all of our heart and soul and mind and body and strength and being, everything we got, well, who was the last person we told about Him and actually shared the gospel with? You see, Christians, it is so easy for us to sit in church and say, oh, I love the Lord with all of my heart. But it's another thing to actually show it. We know why we ought to. And just think where we're at in this series of messages. Go to grow. If we are going to grow the kingdom of the Lord, then we've got to go. We've got to go tell other people about the Lord. If we say, well, I'm scared to death to go, it scares me. Well, I would ask you, do you really love the Lord with all of your heart? You say, yes, I do. Prove it. Prove it. Put some shoe leather with it. By the way, going and telling others is obedience. It's serving. It's a lot of these things we've talked about. Christians, that's what we're called to do. Do we really love the Lord? Do our actions line up with our words? If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. As I said a minute ago, you say, oh, I love the Lord with all of my heart. Who are you to say that I don't love the Lord? First of all, I'm not going to say it. But I'm going to ask you to think about something. You've got children. How would you feel about the person that hates your child, ignores your child, rejects your child? Would you say, oh, that's okay, it's just my kid? Sure, let's go out to lunch. You don't like my family? That's okay. We'll be best buddies. Now, you know that's not going to happen, right? The Heavenly Father gave His only Son to die on Calvary's cross for your sin, to shed His blood in payment for your sin, to take your sin upon Himself on Calvary's cross. And His Son was buried in the tomb, and His Son rose again from the grave. And after everything that Jesus Christ experienced for you, and you tell God, I love you with all of my heart, but I don't want anything to do with your son? Really? Let me tell you, lost person, one day that Heavenly Father will say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. And you will be cast into the lake of fire forever. Forever. Not because you're a bad person. Not because you didn't go to the quote-unquote the right church. Not because you were an alcoholic or drug addict or promiscuous or any of that kind of stuff. No. You're in hell because you rejected the Father's Son. You rejected Jesus. You rejected the only plan of salvation that there is. Lost person, that doesn't have to happen. The Lord wants to save your soul today, but you have to come and repentance and faith to Him. Nobody else, to Him. When we give this invitation this morning, you are not coming to us for salvation. You are coming that we can open up God's Word with you and introduce you to Jesus, because He's the one that does the saving. Nobody else can. You say, do I need to do that? You say, I just got saved right here sitting in my seat. I've called on the name of the Lord to be saved. Great! And come and let it be known. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you've trusted Him as Savior. Whatever your need is this morning, respond as the Lord beckons at your heart's door. Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for Jesus, and thankful, Lord, for Your Word. Thankful, Lord, for the love that You showed to each and every one of us at Calvary's cross and at the empty tomb. A love that was shown long before the foundation of this earth. And this morning, there may be a soul here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, and we would pray, Lord, this morning that this would be the day of salvation. Have Your way, Lord, in this invitation. We pray and ask in Jesus' name.